Reporting on politics and public policy is supported by the Center for Western Studies at Augustana University. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Kara Hetland. Today is the last day for the legislature to pass bills out of both chambers, and some of the top issues still facing lawmakers include putting some final touches to the industrial hemp bill that passed out of the Senate yesterday, the governor's pipeline protest fund bills, and clarifications to a tax reduction promise made just a few years ago. SDPB's Lee Strubinger joined us from Pier earlier this morning for a pre-recorded segment. And a note to listeners, things may have changed slightly since that time. Lee, thanks for being here this morning.
Hey, it's good to be here, Kara.
So let's first start with this tax rate reduction that lawmakers are considering. Committees for both chambers considered these bills yesterday. What's the latest?
Well, as it stands right now at 9 a.m. this morning, both everything changed and nothing changed at the same time. So it's a bit of an oversimplification, but for that simplicity's sake, the House has their version of a tax reduction bill, and the Senate has theirs. So yesterday, the House considered the Senate's bill. They hog-housed it to reflect their language. The Senate did the same thing with the House's bill. So bill numbers are out of the window, because that would get very confusing. And what's likely to happen is both chambers coming together in a conference committee to hash out these details between the two.
And so then what's the issue between these two chambers?
Well, there are various lawmakers who are trying to decide what the Partridge Amendment is or meant in 2016 when it was placed on a bill that increased teacher pay and provided some property tax relief. So real quick, the Partridge Amendment says that for every $20 million in online revenue generated, the state's sales tax will roll back by a tenth of a percent from this automatic trigger, which is generally considered about $20 million. So there's liable to be some numbers thrown around in this segment, but don't worry, they'll all be in increments of $20 million. And this amendment was kind of considered a Hail Mary to get this increase in teacher pay passed. All of this was contingent upon the state's success in the courts over requiring online sellers to remit sales tax. The state won, and now legal minds say the current law isn't really clear, and lawmakers are trying to clear that up. And what they're trying to figure out right now is how an automatic trigger would work. But back to your question, at odds here are kind of two different determinations for a sales tax reduction. The Partridge Amendment calls for a reduction in sales tax if online remote seller collections reach $20 million. State Senator Jeff Partridge is bringing one of those bills that requires the Department of Revenue to present to the Appropriations Committee how much remote seller revenue is coming in. And if the amount is $20 million, that committee may, which is a key word here, introduce a bill to lower the tax rate by a tenth of a percent.
So lawmakers can introduce a bill at any time to reduce the tax rate. So what's new there?
Well, that's kind of the rub on the House side. So in all fairness, Partridge's bill has been amended several times this session. May has been changed to read shall, which has different implications legally. But as it stands at 9 a.m. this morning, the bill reads may. But the House's bill has an auto trigger that automatically reduces the sales tax rate if overall sales tax collections increase by $20 million in a year, not just online sales. So House lawmakers will point to declining sales tax revenue coming in from brick and mortar while online sales tax revenue is increasing. And House Speaker Pro Tem Spencer Gosch says that more people are shopping online, which could create a problem if a recession were to hit. He says as soon as that $20 million threshold is met through online sales, under the Partridge Amendment, that's supposed to trigger a tax decrease. And he points to this hypothetical scenario.
So now we've got two categories, brick and mortar sales tax and remote sellers. Remote sellers increased by $20 million 1 year, but local South Dakota, whether the ag economy or whatever happens to our state, decreases by $40 million. We've got a $20 million hole. Because we're going to be taking that sales tax, we're going to decrease it by $20 million overall revenue, but we're not addressing the big issue we've got over on the brick and mortar side of things. So that puts us in a very difficult position, which I think would be fiscally irresponsible.
Like you asked, Gosch says lawmakers can introduce a bill to halt a sales tax reduction if this kind of scenario presented itself. And the House's concept is one that the conservative group Americans for Prosperity South Dakota supports. They have petition language ready to put in place an automatic trigger on the 2020 ballot, regardless of revenue coming in. Don Hager is the president of that group, and he says lawmakers can introduce a bill to halt the sales tax, to halt a sales tax reduction, because any future legislature can change what's in state law. It'll be interesting to see what happens on the House, because the House bill initially failed in that chamber, but then it ultimately passed 38-30. So we'll see if they support the idea again.
So remote sellers were required to start submitting collections last November. Has this been a big windfall for the state so far?
I've asked that question to folks around the Capitol almost every week since session started, and I finally ran into Department of Revenue Secretary Jim Terwilliger, and here's what he has to say.
I think we just wait until we see the data. You know, the first couple months has just been a little bit over $1 million increase over the previous year, and so we just have to wait and see what happens, especially when the marketplace sellers start getting signed up on March 1st, and we'll see what that brings in. So time will tell.
Those marketplace sellers will include your Etsy's and eBay's and kind of folks who sell through Amazon.
So literally $1 million question at this point.
Right, and this is what Governor Noem has said all along. She says she supports the concept of the Appropriations Committee overseeing reducing the sales tax rate if revenues are there, the online revenues are there. But ultimately, since her budget address, she said there's not been enough data yet to act on this. And State Senator Chris Langer agrees. She's the majority leader in the Senate and says in the end, nothing may come of this issue this session.
Should we decide to not move forward with anything, I think we would still be fine. I think maybe that will be the best solution for everyone involved. We'd have a little bit more time to see where our revenue numbers are at, be able to make a little bit more of a professional or a educated decision.
Okay, so the state Senate yesterday passed a bill that legalizes industrial hemp production in South Dakota. It's a House bill, but it's not quite ready for the governor's decision. Tell us what's happening there.
Yeah, well, the House bill to legalize industrial hemp production is now headed back to the House. The Senate changed the bill with some amendments from the governor's office. So Tuesday, the Senate failed to pass this bill that would legalize industrial hemp production, which called for a two-thirds majority vote, and they didn't have that margin. So State Senator Jordan Youngberg is the prime sponsor of the bill in the Senate, and he says they removed language that set up a fund in the Department of Ag, which money from licenses, farmers who want to, you know, get a license to grow industrial hemp, you know, money from that would go to the state's general fund instead of the Department of Ag. And he says that changed the vote threshold to pass the Senate.
Obviously, you know, there's strategy out here, but, you know, it's not for so much the two-thirds as much as this needs to be an appropriation process. These guys, you know, because one of the things, the way it was set before, these people, we move this money into this fund and it sits there. Say we don't use it all, it still sits there.
Youngberg says that creates a problem where the legislature can't appropriate funds to the Department of Public Safety if they need to, because those dollars are stuck in a fund within the Department of Ag. One of his amendments changed that.
I think this makes the bill a lot better in the sense that we'll be able to control it more, and we'll be able to pin down the problems financially if they are there. So it doesn't change anything. It's still a self-funded program through fees. The farmers still have to get the licensure. Anybody who handles it still has to do all the licensure stuff, and all that goes into the general fund. So
the bill passed out of the Senate 21-14, which is not a veto-proof margin. The governor has not indicated whether she supports this version of the bill, despite there being some of her administration's amendments.
So the governor's bill setting up a fund that aid law enforcement response to actions against pipelines, as well as set up the ability for the state and other entities to go after what Governor Noem calls paid out-of-state rioters, still on the agenda or just added to the agenda this week.
Right. The first one of these bills is called the Peace Fund, and that requires any pipeline company to set up a bond of $1 million per every 10 miles of pipeline, with a cap of $20 million. And so money from that bond will be used to cover the costs that the state or counties will incur or could incur while prosecuting anyone arrested during actions taken against a pipeline. The other one sets up this legal mechanism for the state and other entities to pursue legal remedies against those who fund, against wealthy out-of-state funders who fund riots at pipeline actions. Kate Hruska is the general counsel for the governor's office. Yesterday, she testified on the governor's behalf.
These bills are a funding package presented to the committee to ensure that the infrastructure projects, which are properly permitted and legally authorized to be built in our state, are done with safety and order in mind. Based on the experiences of our neighbor state to the north, we may expect that there could be extraordinary expenses incurred by our counties and local governments who are tasked with ensuring that the public remains safe from riots and lawlessness.
And this was a almost a four-hour committee discussion and debate over these two bills. Opponents of these bills are concerned about quelling free speech and the right to assemble, issues with construction worker man camps, and lack of tribal input. Mark Winiger is a registered lobbyist for the Sierra Club, and he says his group works with law enforcement before any protest, but that they don't participate in what he calls riot boosting.
There are two things in this legislation that disturb me. Number one is this word boosting. I find no legal definition of that word anywhere. The second one is the definition of a riot. It contains the word threat. What constitutes a threat? That is something that we have to consider very seriously because we want to become a state where citizens can wear firearms.
So transparency was a key issue for Governor Noem during her campaign, and critics say introducing bills this late in the session is far from transparent, especially since her meeting with TransCanada happened much earlier this session, or earlier this session. Both are Senate bills, and the Senate voted in favor of suspending the rules to allow these bills to go forth, and lawmakers are going to move swiftly to get those bills through both chambers. 189 and 190 are on the Senate calendar today, so we'll see where they go.
All right, so give me a quick update. Next Wednesday's the last legislative day before veto day, is that right? So what all needs to happen still?
The budget is the big priority for next week. On Wednesday, it's going to be the last legislative day before veto day, which is about 2 weeks later. And yeah, all signs are going to point towards probably just conference committees over some of these bills that we've been talking about that are still out there. And also just hashing out that budget. What you're going to see, what you kind of see every year, is talk over the big three and how much they get. So that's healthcare providers, state employees, and education. You know, Governor Noem called for a 2.5% increase in her budget proposal. What was that? That was the third week of session. So we'll see if those groups get that and where the budget kind of stands from there.
All right. SDPB's Lee Strubinger in Pierre, thank you so very much for this update.
You're welcome.